Welcome back to the Hardline. Enter at your own risk.
You're listening to the Hardline, 5 Minute The Fan, KBNS, 5MinuteTheFan.com. Bob Ramsey had something he was working on during the break. I don't know if it worked out. Did it work out, boys?
I was thinking of a line.
Lumber in his teeth. Now let him know you're there.
That's about all we can play. That's Paul Newman from Slapshot. When you're talking about Sundquist, he... That's
well. There's actually two things. Are we trying to let him over there by getting the lumber in their teeth, or are we trying to let him over there by bleeding on them? Because he tells him there are two ways Paul Newman says to let him know you're there.
Either way is fine.
All right, fair enough.
Him know you're there.
I just wanted to make sure.
I wanted to get into Sammy Blay for a moment. Yeah. So Sammy Blay is going toe to toe with David Backes, and Backes is winning in stunning fashion right now. It's not close. Blay has had his moments, but Backes is winning. But because Backes is winning only on Sammy Blay, the Blues are winning. Sammy Blay has absolutely filled a role that you have to have that guy, right? And the Blues have a bunch of them. But Sammy Blay has since the moment he had the weird travel day where he was up here and they sent him back, and the second he landed in San Antonio, he came right back and packed his bags. And since that day, he's been an absolute animal. He's been Mr. Physical. His job is to go around and crush guys.
Hey. Well, Being in airports and on airlines that long in a short period of time will make you angry.
I believe that. Well, since that time, he's played like his hair's on fire. And David Backes' job today, and I don't blame him and everybody ripping him in St. Louis, fine, you're going to love the guy the second he retires and all that. I love David Backes, and I know him personally to some degree. He's a great dude, and you loved him here, and so just because he plays for Boston and has a different role now, you can hate him. I don't care.
But it's okay. It's okay to want him to get his ass kicked.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. But people are saying, you've changed, and I've seen people burning his jerseys.
No.
He's not. He is exactly who he was here and why you liked him. He fills exactly the role that you need. And on this team, he's making a bunch of money, and he said, I'm not filling the role in Boston that you paid me all this money to fill. So is there a role I can fill for you, coach? What do you need from me? That's the ultimate team player. So his role is to go out and stir things up, even if it's his best friends. Well, typically, if you don't have a Sammy Blay, that means the Blues end up like the Sharks did last series. The Sharks didn't have anybody to stop the hurt. Well, David Backes, if not for Sammy Blay, every time we see Sammy Blay get crushed, and it's happened a lot this series, David Backes is standing over him saying, who's your daddy, right? Cam Jansen style. But that means that that's not Vladimir Tarasenko, and that's not Ryan O'Reilly, and that's not David Perron. Whoever else you need scoring goals. Braden Schenn, we saw him try to stir it up with Winnipeg. It didn't go well. He can't be Mr. Physical stirred up with guys and still play his game. Sammy Blay has taken on that role. He's out there with Backes a lot. Backes don't play that much. He plays 8 minutes a game. And Sammy Blay's out there.
When Backes is out there, Sammy's there. And here's the thing. If David says, hey, I can kick your ass, and I am. And Sammy's saying, well, you know what? You're going to have to.
Yeah,
because he's not backing down.
That's right.
You can.
Let's see it.
But you're going to have to.
That's exactly right.
And I'm coming back next shift.
Yes, and he keeps doing it. So Sammy Blay is losing this battle, and he's winning the war like crazy for his team.
Agreed, 100%. Great point.
Big freaking deal for this team, because I'm telling you, we're seeing guys be physical, right? We've seen Bertuzzo. He didn't play last game, but we've seen Bertuzzo knock guys out. Vladimir Tarasenko had a hell of a hit yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Sanford had a few big hits, one into the boards that hurts like hell, that almost breaks your ribs when you go over the bench
right. The defenseman.
Barbashev has been flying around. Steen's been hitting. Schwartz had a couple big hits, right? However, how many times have you seen the Blues on the receiving end of a bone-crushing hit outside of Sammy Blay? I can't think of one off the top of my head. We've seen Sammy Blay get crushed a bunch because he's voluntarily...
He's become the focal point for them.
And he's going right at him every time, right? If you are routinely going after somebody, they then don't have the opportunity to choose their target. And that's what Sammy Blay is doing. Instead of, there is Tarasenko, I'm going to go run him right now, here comes Sammy Blay, who, by the way, when David Backes put the highlight reel tape, if somehow they win, there's going to be two big hits that are going to be on the highlight tape for the season for Boston. It's going to be the Krug hit that Rock just mentioned, and it's going to be Sammy Blay getting freaking crushed by David Backes from the side. Guess who engaged that hit? That was Sammy Blay, yeah, who was coming after him and then took the brunt of it. Well, guess what that did? It stopped Backes from getting inside the play to go crush somebody else. And that Sammy Blay voluntarily going in and being the freaking target, and I think it's saving a whole hell of a lot of hurt for the rest of the guys.
I think it's an excellent point. Really do.
Let's talk some Blues. Want to?
Cardinals?
That's what I meant. Let's talk some Cardinals, yes.
Mind meld. I know what's happening.
When was the last time, and would you have ever guessed this late in his career, that Adam Wainwright would be throwing 120-plus pitches?
I wouldn't have guessed it. But to say I was shocked would be an overstatement. I thought they were going to get him out either after 7 or even during the 7th, and they kept going, and I went, ooh, are you playing with fire? And the fact that he finished the 8th inning was amazing to me. And in fact, if not for a truly spectacular play, he wouldn't have finished the 8th inning. But what happened is what happened. And so I give him credit. He's at that point, I've talked about it a lot over the years, when a pitcher gets older and or starts to lose his stuff, he loses confidence in throwing strikes because he's had a period of time when he throws strikes, it gets tattooed. Wainwright's there. He had 8 walks in that game. It was a great effort, but you can't say a career high walks in a game is a great game. But he found a way to make it happen. And rather than leaving a ball over the plate to get crushed, he understood, I'm gonna have to take a punch here with the walk to be able to get the knockout with the next hitter. And some of it by design, some of it by happenstance, luck, if you will. Again, won't call it luck because Wong is terrific, and he proved he was terrific again. It was about as good of outing as you can get from a 5th starter. And it's why, not that you ever want or expect to get that outing again, even the rest of the season, but it's why he's in your rotation.
Yes, I 100% agree. Now, a couple things on that. The play by Wong, Brian Hoffman tweeted out, basically, there's like a 99% chance that that's a hit for anybody else. However, it's hard to put that into perspective because there was a shift on, right? So he was moved over a little bit to get there. But that was pretty spectacular.
And you give Mike Schilt credit for that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Second thing, when you see a guy like Wainwright gutting through, Max Scherzer did the same thing on the same day, basically.
That's right.
When you see your workhorse, the ultimate, look, Wainwright's not the guy he once was. He'll be the first one to tell you that. But the brain's still there and the willpower is still there. Chris Carpenter wasn't the guy that he once was when he was gutting through to get you another World Series either. You find a way. That does something for your guys. Not only out on the field, but run support oftentimes. I used to argue with Eric Messersmith about this all the time. He's like, you know, yeah, wait, because he always would say wins don't matter. I'm like, yeah, let's just hand out wins based on war then. Why not? But he was saying, no, wins matter. Pitching wins don't matter, right? I don't care if you're 16-3. If you got an ERA of 5.2, that means you're lucky. Well, does it? Because this is, I think, you're passing up the human element of this. And that is when Wainwright was on the mound. I don't have the stats to back this up right now, but it was 2 years ago. When Wainwright was on the mound, they scored like a run higher. Well, why is that? How come every fifth day? Well, you'd have to show me that. I don't know. I can't break it down to tell you they also faced a really crappy pitcher every time he's on the mound. I can't break it down that far. I know this. When he's out there, they scored runs. When he's out there, they're making plays. So his fielding independent ERA is crap, but his real ERA is good. What does that mean? His defense is playing great behind him, and they're scoring runs. So you tell me, when you got a workhorse out there and a guy who's gutting through with 125, 128 pitches, whatever it was, and you see a guy right behind him make a play like that, and then you turn around and see the emotion that Adam Wainwright has, guys keep making those plays. You have another level when you're inspired to play that way.
That can't be measured with numbers.
I like you, Rammer. I freaking knew I liked you.
It's not a real thing. Sorry, guys. I can't compute that. I don't think it's a real thing.
You don't. That's the point. You can't compute it. That's exactly the point.
That's why momentum's not a real thing, as the Boston Bruins showed us.
No, momentum
from
is
game
real.
From game 3 to 4, momentum's not a real thing.
Yes, it is.
I watched a hockey game last night that shows me it's not.
No, they got the momentum by not spending time in the box. A couple more penalties, the momentum would have switched to Boston.
I tweeted out after the first. We'll get to this with Cam. I tweeted out after the first. No penalties. Edge Blues. Very, very clearly. We'll get back into that. But I want to continue on here. Matt Carpenter appears to be more comfortable at the plate. What are you seeing?
Yeah, I still don't like the launch angle thing, but it looks like he's getting closer to the point. If I were see if the lineup's out, would you rock? If I were going to make the lineup today, I'd hit him first or second.
Yeah, he was first 2 games ago, and then last game he was out and Bader did it. So the last time that he played, he was back in
leadoff. If it were me, I'd slide DeJong down and let him get right and go Fowler Carpenter. I think that's too drastic for Mike Schilt, but I wouldn't be surprised if Carp was back up top.
Interesting. So you'd have hit Ozuna fifth?
No.
Would you slide everybody down?
No, I'd slide DeJong to fifth.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And put him in between Wieters and Ozuna. That's what I would do. I think that's too drastic based on what we've seen from Schilt.
Yeah.
But that's what I'm just saying that's what I would do.
I do not see any lineup.
Okay.
No lineup from the Cardinals Twitter just yet, although it's hard to sort through considering the draft is happening right now. So there's a tweet every 10 seconds.
I think Schilt will probably go Carp DeJong, which is fine.
Yeah.
I would just take it a little bit further.
Goldschmidt now has he's back up to an average 275 average. Did have a home run the other night.
Who are we talking about? I'm sorry.
Paul Goldschmidt.
Goldschmidt, yeah.
He appears to be doing what he does every season. Now, he's not hot yet like he usually gets. He's going to have to do some...
But he's warming.
Yes. That is what... And do you think that has to do with the switch? Or do you think he's just warming like he always does?
I would like to think that the switch has helped turn the burner up a little bit.
I think it was coming anyway?
I think his history shows it was going to happen anyway. And you know what? I don't think the switch has helped it.
No,
but I think that by moving him third, as he heats up, the RBI opportunities in front of him will, the team will benefit.
We've talked about this, and we sort of, the day Hadley wanted to talk about it before the Cup started, whatever, with Ozuna. And he kept throwing this out there. He's like, he's almost to 50 RBIs. Well, he is to 50 RBIs, and he got there faster than anybody not named Albert Pujols and Stan Musial. Mm-hmm. It was either since a certain year or in franchise history. Either way, it's going back to Stan Musial, so it's a long time. What do you make of that? Is that kind of right place, right time, considering that he's been a little bit up and down, as is too?
He has been up and down, and that's what is frustrating about him. But all those runs counted.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's my question. Right place, right time. Meaning, there's 3 guys on base, and that's when, you know, it worked. And there's nobody on base. And
for
that's
those who think that RBIs are overrated, well, would if Wong were hitting there, would he have 51 RBIs?
Not likely. Not unless you put them all there in April.
I was saying, he is doing his job.
He is, and he is. His RBIs are the most in the team by a wide margin. Second is Molina, who's on the IL right now.
33, right?
Exactly. Ozuna's got 51, and then you got a bunch of guys in the 20s.
Yep.
Goldschmidt should have a lot more than 27 right now.
Well, they shouldn't have been hitting him second.
That's right. That's exactly right. And
if he would have been hitting third, he'd probably have 10 more RBIs.
Yeah.
Although,
listen, across an entire season, it's a negligible amount of batters. You see indifference in at-bats. You see at the two
spot. It's not
about at bats,
it's about a chance to have somebody in front of you on. When you're talking about RBIs, that doesn't apply
at all. And see, you guys look at it one way, I look at it, that's why the pitcher should be batting eighth.
Well, that is can be part of the discussion, but it's not the point right now. Put him third.
He says potato, we say you're an idiot.
By having him third.
Seems like it's kind of stopping the conversation, TJ.
By having him third, he still hits every first inning. And it gives him the problem, though, with that, especially in May, you didn't have 2 guys who were hitting that could hit in front of him. So no matter where he hit, probably the only way to hit him fifth would get more RBI. So,
yeah, right.
But hitting him third, you're gonna, as guys get hot, the RBIs will climb.
Eric's gone, so Rock's having to fill shoes of things that he doesn't believe right now.
Yeah.
I do that. I do that sometimes. I have to. I have to do that sometimes. I like the rationale behind having your best hitter at two for a little bit there. I understand it.
I understand what they're saying. I just don't agree with the move.
Yeah.
I don't think
I also just really wish we could put DeJong in the two spot.
He is in the two spot.
He has been for a few days.
Yes. That's what I've been pushing for since the get-go. If it wasn't Goldschmidt, my ideal two-hitter has always been DeJong, but it wasn't happening for a while there.
He's in a slump now, so it doesn't look great.
And yeah, it doesn't look great. Why when they put him there? But I would love it if he snapped out in 2-0 and just stayed there because I think he's perfect for that spot.
Me too.
He has, talking about your slump here, if we go back to...
What is he, 2 for 25 or something?
May 19th, he is...
New Orleans' defense is not slumping, and I'm okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care what Wong hits at this point. I've been on Hoffman's train on that one for a couple months, for a while now. I don't care what Colton Wong hits. His defense is incredible. Keep him in there.
Yep.
I went back one game too far, but yes, he is 2 for... A lot. 2 for 36 at bats.
Okay.
2 for 36. He's got 3 runs, no doubles, no triples, no home runs, no RBIs, and only 5 walks.
And he had been among the leaders in runs scored.
What's the how many strikeouts?
I unclicked it.
But
and...
anyway, the point is you got to get some hot guys in front of Goldschmidt and Ozuna.
Right, which will totally turn you on.
Why did you have to phrase it that way, TJ?
And while
that's worrisome.
Gotta flip a switch.
That's that sucks.
If Carpenter's one of them, 10K. Then I actually like Wieters fifth for a while.
Wieters
until Yachty's back.
I love the flashes of Wieters. Wieters clearly not the player he once was, but his throw down to second the other day was Yachty like. Like you beat him by like 3 steps, and he just sort of you can tell he's been there. Same thing when he hits a bomb, you can tell he's been there. It's not like whenever Peña did anything. Well, I thought to myself, oh, my gosh. And so did he, right? Every time Payne, he's like, oh, my gosh. Wieters just sort of jogs it out and high-fives the guy and goes and sits down because he's been there and he's done.
Because of his performance, once Yachty's healthy, I think it allows Schilt to be more proactive in scheduled days off for Molina.
Yeah.
Because now you trust Wieters more.
With the injury and the fact that Wieters has looked pretty good, how much do you get Kisner in? Looking forward.
I haven't given any thought.
Because,
right.
This guy who's mostly supposed to be an offensive player looked really good. Handling Wayne looked not really good. Looked solid handling Wainwright.
This is a cop-out, I admit it. Depending on the matchups, maybe a couple times a week.
Okay. I'm just saying, does that change your lineup because of Wieters' pedigree or no? Does it change anything drastically in the lineup construction?
Well, yeah, because if he's in there,
you got to put him in what, 7.
It showed you what they thought of him. They hit him 8.
Yeah,
so they don't want to overwhelm him offensively. So that's why Wieters hitting 5th or 6th is your guy.
Last 9 games, boys and girls, Paul Goldschmidt clearly ascending. He has 13 for 32, a .406 batting average, a .441 on base, and a .594 slug. His OPS well
I can
over
live with that.
I believe
1,000 during that time.
He's soaring. Blues players ascend. Just a Jimmy the Cat, little stickler.
Wrong time of day.
Yeah, it's
wrong time of day.
It's saying I'm
wrong.
He's soaring.
What's today?
Tuesday? He's a Cardinal. No he's talk soaring.
Tuesday? It is right, Silent fine. Rock Tuesday. I love that.
Ascending. Fine. That. You know what? I'm trying to keep it all in the same thing, but fine.
No.
All in
How
the
dare
same
I?
Thing.
How dare I?
Let's not. Let's go back to talking about Paul Goldschmidt. He's got 2 home runs during that time.
He's soaring.
And no, he's not soaring because he was landed. He was in a cave down underground for a long time where he was the 5th best hitter in the majors over the last 6 years, and he had a batting average of .253. He was sitting at .780. You have to ascend as
a
bird.
You of all people just hating on a mascot-related pun. I'm shocked right now.
Don't be.
Okay, fair enough.
Mascots are overrated.
So is Rock. All right, let's.
Well, bang, got
sorry.
It.
Oh, you nailed it.
First
I
of all,
love
both,
that.
Both of those things were uncalled for. How dare you?
Yeah,
next thing you're going to tell me that numbers aren't as important as we think they are in sports.
And they're
uniform
not.
Numbers, that is.
And they're not.
No, they're like the third most important thing in all of sports.
They're
honestly.
Like the 100th.
Where's Martin Kilcorn when I need him?
They're like the 100th.
Where's
most
Marty
important
when I need
thing.
Him?
That's in fact, I'm sick.
Wrong time of day.
I'm sick of all of you saying, well, you know, number 22. Wait a minute, I don't have my program with me.
You know, like
say his freaking name.
Say what sport you're actually coming after. Say you hate hockey, guys. Just say it, Bob. We know who you're talking about. Because the only people who refer to the players
no,
consistently only as numbers.
Baseball does it like crazy. What are you talking about?
Football does it like crazy. My pal, who by the way became a great play-by-play guy, Steve Savard. What happens is you kind of get it's kind of insider talk.
We never discussed each other by number ever.
Yeah, I
no,
never
no,
heard
it
in I'm
football. Talking about announcers.
See, I never heard it in football either.
Oh.
Just calling guys by their number?
Steve and those guys would do it all the 80, time.
With Torrey. Like
oh,
80,
great play
81,
by 34.
80.
Well, right? Come on. Wow.
As far as...
But that... Now, they could counter by saying, come on, Rammer, you're a pro. Big, know their numbers.
I also really
so
want to
So I get that. I get that. Okay. But I still
trying
don't
to,
like it.
Trying to think what big Ram player was 34 ever.
No, I was just using it as an example because I don't know the numbers.
But that's how my brain works. You say 34, I think... Huh. Well, there's 36. I mean, Madison Hedgecock threw some great blocks back in the day.
I can't think of a single 34.
See?
I got nothing.
I'm not crazy. Oh, well, that's...
It was an example.
So
a made-up example. As far as the culture inside, hockey players routinely talk about numbers. Cam will come on and say, he'll say, look, when 91 gets going, in baseball they do that too. Hey, five. You know, there's always something. We never did that
no,
from the inside.
And I wasn't trying to – I was just trying to say I hate it. That's all I was really trying to say.
I hate it too.
Okay. Good.
Rock's a
we've
loser.
Got another, we've
Rock
got
hasn't an, won a single argument yet.
We've got another plank in our platform on this show.
Rock keeps arguing things and keeps losing, Rammer. What do you do about that?
He's over.
Oh, see, you used a number there. You can't do that.
It's rough. It
wasn't his number.
It's
I guess
rough day
Ofer
for 11.
Would be his number.
It's a rough day for 11. We'll say that. It's a rough day for 11, guys.
In fact, we're going to get you a jersey. And it'll be a big zero.
How dare you?
Be a zero apostrophe F-E-R. Ofer.
Don't you dare put an H at the beginning of that. All right, here we go, boys.
Oh, no, no chance.
No, but that's definitely what we would.
I'm blanking on which Raider guy had double zero as his number. Was it Upshaw who had double zero?
I don't know the numbers. Stop it.
This is why Rock doesn't have any friends. But if you have friends or would like some friends, you guys can go to the next TMA Live. Mark your calendars, boys. It will be taking place on Thursday, July 25th at Hot Shots off Dorset. Brought to you by Bud Light. There will be some great giveaways as well as food and drink specials. Hot Shots, Dorset, located 12664 Dorset Road in Maryland Heights. That's TMA Live brought to you by Bud Light. Why is Rock laughing?
Because he knows he's under my skin.
Bob's reaction there was amazing, and I didn't even mean to do that. I honestly asked that genuinely because I didn't want to screw up the reference, not even thinking that the entire conversation has been revolving
around. Do you know the numbers?
What a stupid question that would be. I apologize.
Guys, this is a Charles Barkley-ism, I'm sure, something
okay.
like that. Guys who know the numbers of players never got any phone numbers from the girls.
Oh, nice.
This is guys who are obsessed with analytics, never had a date to the prom. That's very much what it is.
None of these things are true.
So Rock knows.
Are you having a hot flash over there?
It's really hot in this studio.
I feel
sorry.
Fine. What do you think?
It's pleasantly warm.
Could you rephrase? Let's talk to Cam Jansen on the other side. It's a hard line.